The Jews had long been awaiting the kingdom of God to be established with the coming of the Messiah. They were waiting for something to be manifest externally in the ruling power that was the earthly government of this land. But when John the Baptist and then Jesus came preaching to repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand, they were speaking about a ruling power that was much greater than any earthly government. Luke 8:1 tells us that Jesus began going around from one city and village to another, proclaiming and preaching the kingdom of God. Matthew 9 says he was proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. In Luke 4, we read, Jesus said to them, I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, for I was sent for this purpose. As Jesus was training the disciples, he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to perform healing. They did exactly that. Even during the time Jesus was with them in his resurrected body, we're told that he appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke to them concerning the kingdom of God. In other words, our understanding of what we mean by the kingdom of God is of utmost importance. Jesus spent his time on earth proclaiming it, and ushering in the kingdom of God was the purpose for which he came. The kingdom of God refers to the rule of God as king, as the utmost authority who we honor in our lives, as the one we seek to honor and obey, as the one we look to for protection, provision, guidance, and salvation. To live in the kingdom of God is not an address or a place. It's not something we wait for passively or expect to happen externally someday. It's something that is realized within us. It is a state of mind and an intention. It is to live so that God reigns in authority in our minds and in our hearts, where we live to honor him and seek to obey him in all things. When we're living under God's authority and seeking to center our very being on his presence, we can also expect to see the principles that characterize his kingdom manifest within us and through us. Peace that passes understanding, healing, abundant life, joy, the lame walk, the blind have their sight restored to them, whether it's literal or figurative. Those who are being held captive by the powers of darkness are set free. The dead are raised. This is the kingdom Jesus proclaimed. It is life-affirming, liberating, powerful, and available to us now as followers of Christ. This is the kingdom Jesus came to establish. This is the kingdom Jesus taught his disciples to proclaim. It wasn't just something that was to come when he comes again. It's something he came to establish within us when we live for him now in the world today. The power of God was released to work in us when Jesus overcame sin and death in the resurrection, and the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples to empower them for ministry. The time for waiting is over. When Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, there are some of those who are standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God after it has come with power," he was not confused or mistaken. Some of those standing there received and embraced what Jesus came to bring them and would live in the kingdom of God under the authority of God, in obedience to God, and experiencing the power of God in their lives while they were still on earth. We pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." 600 years before the time of Jesus, Daniel prophesied about this when he said, "The saints of the highest one will receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, for all ages to come." Jesus made that prophecy a reality for us. We are saints of the highest one when we live for him, when we have been redeemed by him, and when our lives are centered on him. When Christ is Lord in our hearts, when he is our authority, when we seek to have his will direct our will, when we trust in him and love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, we are living in the kingdom of God, and we can expect to see the principles of the kingdom manifest in us. Jesus illustrates a person living in the kingdom of God with the parable of the mustard seed. It starts out as the tiniest of seeds that is planted within a person. When that seed begins to sprout and grow through the nourishment of the Word of God, the teaching and encouragement of other believers, when it's watered by the power of the Holy Spirit and strengthened by the body and blood of Christ and the practice of living by faith and in obedience to God, that tiniest of seeds grows into what was essentially the live oak of the Holy Land. It was a place of protection from the heat of the day and from predators, a source of food and a place of rest. It was a place where the birds came to make their nest and raise their young. This is what the kingdom of God is to be for us. It is a state of being where we are Christ-centered, and so we receive the protection, provision, rest, and peace that comes from abiding in the presence of God. One of the daily reading books I like to use is called Streams in the Desert. And this past Wednesday, there was an excerpt from the writing of Henry Drummond that illustrates the peace of God as we experience it when we're living in the kingdom of God. He says, "Two painters each painted a picture to illustrate his concept of rest. The first chose a scene of a lone lake among far-off mountains. The second threw on his canvas a thundering waterfall with a fragile birch tree bending out over the foam. And at the fork of the branch, almost wet with the cataract spray, sat a robin on its nest." The first picture was one of stagnation. The second was one of rest. Rest is not just a hallowed feeling that comes over us in church. It is the repose of a heart set deep in God. This picture of calm and peace in the midst of the crashing and thundering of the world around us is a picture of one living in the kingdom of God. Jesus moved through the cacophony and the demands of the crowd constantly pressing in on him with a calm, a strength, and an intention that could not be derailed because he was so directly linked to the Father. He took his cues from what the Father was saying and doing, not from the demands of the world around him. He was living in the kingdom of God and demonstrating the power of that kingdom as he preached the principles of that life and demonstrated the impact of kingdom living by healing the sick and casting out demons. In the picture of the mustard tree, illustrating what it is to live in the kingdom of God, Jesus is himself the demonstration of that life of living centered in God, and he calls us to live that way as well. He said, "Greater works than these will you do in my name," because we are drawing on that same power, that same authority that he drew from. And we are living under the same principles that he operated in when we are living in the kingdom of God. This is not just for our own benefit, but for the benefit of others. There is with it a sense of responsibility for those with whom we are in community. When we're living with that kind of faith, looking to the Lord to define our reality rather than the circumstances in the world around us, our faith becomes a source of blessing to others. When we're living in the presence of God, we bring others near to the kingdom. When we draw near to them in ministry, as we respond to them with the love of Christ. You already have many of the practices of this kind of living built into the culture you have been raised in. As Southerners whose culture was shaped by living out the Word of God, this seems to come naturally to you, much of it. You've been taught to treat others with kindness, to respond with graciousness, to care for the sick, to welcome the stranger, to care for the poor and those in need, and in general, to do the right thing. I have admired the way you care for one another and for those who are poor and in need. When there is a crisis, you show up and you surround those in need with love and support. I've seen it time and again. Many of the things that we're called to do in kingdom living in the community are already ingrained in your way of living. By adding to that the faith in God that trusts him completely, expects to see his power at work in our lives, and longs to be his instrument for good in the world, we are ushering in his kingdom. It happens one person at a time, one blessing at a time, one redeemed life at a time. The impact of kingdom principles on a person's well-being is measurably evident, even to those who are not believers. Our transformed life and character becomes a powerful testimony in and of itself. When we're living out kingdom principles, seeking to be a blessing to others, and are filled with that peace of God that passes understanding, the knowledge and trust that we are in his hands, and the joy of abiding in his presence, we create in ourselves an atmosphere that is conducive to healing and wholeness because of what God is doing within us. And when we then go into a space with that presence of God within us, we bring that presence into that space. We are able to rise above the difficulties that life throws our way, and know the joy of the Holy Spirit within at all times, regardless of what is going on around us, when we are centered in Christ and living in the kingdom. When we abide in the kingdom of God, we can walk through the fires of life without being consumed, and have hope in even the most hopeless of situations, because we know the power of the King of Kings, in whose kingdom we abide. Amen.